Amen. It's difficult to think that the Lord already did everything that I'm going to speak about this morning, and it's actually beautiful because I love that when the Lord speaks, there's something of action and faith that arises. So as Raymond shared, my name is Shaul. We are the newest eldership couple in the congregation, and we've only been in the congregation for 6 weeks, if my math is correct. And I'm married to Jessica. She's out there with our little one, Lianne. She's the one bouncing. Lianne, it's Lianne. If she doesn't sleep, we won't hear me speak to this morning. But I am super excited to share this morning. I'm excited because I felt the Lord share with me dat ons gaan nou braai. We all know that joke, and when we say that joke, we all can relate that when we say that as South Africans, we mean we're going to braai. No. It's going to happen. But I felt the Lord say that He wants to do something this morning with us that's not going to happen later. It's going to happen here and now. So the title for this morning is No Delay. And as I'm going to jump into it, I really just felt during worship for us this thing of that He wants to convict us this morning. He wants to sharpen us this morning. He wants to encounter us this morning. And for those who feel like they haven't heard His voice in a while, He wants to come speak this morning. And I'm going to use a little bit of my story and Jessica's story, and we're going to go through a journey of three things, and it's all to do with mending the nets and fishing. But before I jump into that, I just want to say thank you to this congregation, to this community, and to everybody who's been welcoming us in, who's loved us, who shared a meal with us, who's invited us over. There's a couple who's driving our kids to school because we only have one car, so they took it and they're helping us out in that way. And we just want to say from our side, from me and Jess, we want to say thank you to this beautiful family for loving us in the way you have, and for accepting us. And that's where our journey starts. If you look at that photo, it should look familiar. It's there. So myself and Jessica, we met in Wellington at Provence in the Manor House in 2014, September 24th, on a work party where we painted Provence. It was the year that Josh Jen just got Provence, and Josh and Wellington moved from the old First Love building over to this one. And we met in a work party. Jess was painting one of the bathrooms in the manor house, and I walked in and she said, "Hier kom moeilikheid," and I said, "Jou so is mooi." But then the problem was she came with this tall dude, like really tall dude. In my eyes, he was much taller. So I was like, "Whatever, okay, cool, let's just paint." We met here, we got married here, as you can see by photo evidence. And there's always been something linking us back to Wellington. My whole journey with the Lord actually started when I gave my heart to the Lord at the old First Love building. I had a friend who came to Leap. So a lot of people ask me, "Did you do Leap?" No, I didn't do Leap. I only visited Leap a lot. So it seemed like I did Leap, but I was not part of Leap. So for us, it was always something that when they said, "Hey, do you guys want to go to Wellington?" our hearts got excited because we're always linked to this place. Richard was still the one that we had to communicate about the venue and sorting everything out. And we would have gotten married outside, but we decided to marry in the middle of winter. So it started raining. So the day of our wedding, it rained on the 30th of June. So this year, we will be married for 8 years. I know, we don't look that old. Yes, we're excited for that. And I'm going to share a little bit more about my story. And as I share my story, I'm going to share a bit of part of mending the nets and how this will apply to us in our walk with God. So as a child, I grew up in a very poor home. A home where we didn't serve the Lord. We only went to church Easter and Christmas. Who can relate to that? No? Only Easter and Christmas. We at one stage in my life, I was 10 years old. We were a family of four staying in a one-bedroom house. Then we got kicked out of that one-bedroom house. Then we stayed in a Opel Kadett. You can't find those hatchbacks anymore. It's only had two doors. As a family of four, we stayed in that. And then before I had to go to school, we stop at the Shell garage, and then you quickly wash under your arms, and then you brush your teeth, and then you go to school. So as a family, we didn't have much. But there's some fond memories that I remember from growing up. And one of the fondest memories I have is the way my father spoke about fishing. My father was a freshwater fisherman. He had border colors and then eventually protea colors. But that was all before we were born. And he loved fishing. So when Morris introduced the theme of mending the nets, I was instantly thinking about all the fishing terms I can think of to kind of apply it to scripture and see how can we do this. And we're going to start off with the first one, which I really like if it works. Let's see. There we go. It says, setting the whole fleet. Now, this is actually a saltwater reference. And this one is when the captain of the boat decides that there is a moment where it's an all or nothing situation. They haven't caught anything as they went out to go catch fish. And the purpose of a fisherman is to catch fish. So if they don't catch fish, they don't get paid. If they don't get paid, they don't eat. So there's a moment of desperation where the captain calls over the mic, set the whole fleet. And what the fleet has to do is they have to throw in every net, every line, every cage, everything they have into the ocean to try and catch fish. And for me, when I was 17, my father was shot and killed in a hijacking. And there was a moment where we were busy driving back from Panorama Hospital, and I got to my house, and my friend's dad stood there, and I ran to him, and I actually hugged him, and I told him, God has a plan with thee. God has a plan with this. But it was only words, because there was no action with it. So imagine setting the whole fleet, but nobody casts the net. Imagine coming to a place where we're actually saying, God, here's my heart, but actually not living for him. Later that year, we went on an outreach. And on that outreach, I met a girl. Hello, Liffy. Sorry, it was Yanni. Still love you. I met a girl, and she made me smile. So I thought, this is the Lord. So I gave my heart to the Lord again. I was like, yeah, it is so good. My life didn't change. My life was the same. I still did the things I needed, wanted to do. And on 21, in the old building, we came to a worship night, and it was a feedback night from three students that went to Bethel, and they came back, and they had a worship night. And on this side, I can remember it as clear as day, Leonard was laughing, and he was going mal. He was like enjoying himself. And on this side, there was a guy called Mana, and he was crying, and Mana was a big dude. He was quite an intimidating dude, but he was crying, and he was weeping. And I stood there, Yella is mal. Wat gaan hier aan? I don't have this. Like, this is not my way of thinking about God. I've given my heart. And then Yannick took me outside and he's like, do you want to pray? Do you want to pray and give your heart to God? And I prayed. And for about 6 months, nothing changed. And I can so relate to this scripture in 1 Kings verse 11 to 6. It says, so Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David, his father, has done. And that holy means completely. It means everything. It is all or nothing. And Solomon actually allowed compromise into his life. And as we see, even from last week, when Andrew spoke about bringing things into the light, it's a mending of the net that we actually need to mend a net in our hearts. That are we giving compromise in our hearts? And when we prayed the prayer and said, Lord, you are God of my life, when we prayed that prayer, is there stuff that we held on to? Because God shouldn't just be God of our hearts. He should be God of everything. There's that famous quote where it says, if God is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And the first part of mending the nets and setting the whole fleet is like, is God Lord in your heart? And the Wheel of Compromise is actually a beautiful place because Solomon wasn't a young man when that scripture was written. It was at the end of his life. And Solomon started as a young man to tolerate compromise and sin. And then as he grew older, he grew to accommodate it. And then as he grew older, he grew to participate in it. And oftentimes we will find ourselves tolerating, accommodating, and participating in it as we go through life. For me, that happened so clearly. Because there was a part in my life where I just prayed the prayer, but I didn't live the life. After I was 17, I gave my heart to the Lord. I became a Sunday school teacher. And I remember teaching the grade nines that you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't do all of these things, but yet Saturday I would be at the same parties as them. I prayed the prayer, but I didn't live the life. If we reflect on last week, we see that God is identifying areas in our lives that we locked away from Him. If we reflect on what God is doing, I want to ask us, what does our finances look like? What does our secret habits look like? Is there a toxic relationship we are tolerating or compromising in? And is our career ambitions the area that we're finding compromise in? But there is a moment. There is a moment where we can draw the line in the sand and we can stop trying to manage the slide. If there is a hobby, a media choice, a sport, or anything in you that's producing a desire to compromise, don't accommodate it. Fight it. An easy way to fight this is to remember Jesus went all in for us. I am a gamer at heart. I love playing games. One of my favorite games was a game called Counter-Strike. And during COVID, some of the teens, if you don't know, I led the youth in Durbanville, and I would play games to connect with them. And some of the teens got me to play Counter-Strike. And I remember just after COVID, there was a season in my life where actually I started playing so much games, and we were about to have Lilia, our first daughter. And I played a lot of games, and Jess actually pointed out, yo, Charles, there's compromise in your heart. There's compromise. You love this more than what you love being with the saints. You love this more than what you actually love why you started doing this. And I drew a line in the sand and I told Jess, listen, I want you to be able to tell me whenever I play a game, stop. And then I have to stop. Yo, that was tough, man. Because she would come in the middle of a match and she'd be like, okay, you must stop now. And then I had to stop because actually I wanted to draw a line in the sand and I wanted to train my heart and my body to be fully yielded to the Lord and not to find compromise. And the second principle, or the second thing of this message this morning, is one of the areas that I love the most in fishing. Now, I don't know who's fished before freshwater fishing. Anyone? Great. When you cast in the lines, you have your rod up and you put your dobermaniki up. And you're waiting for that thing, and you sit there, you drink your tea, drink your coffee, you eat your sandwich, that egg and mayo sandwich, I'll say, and then you look at the dobermaniki, and you wait for him. And then when the fish starts to nibble on the hook, the dobermaniki does this, okay, that little policeman does that, and then you wait for that thing to hit the top. If it hits the top, there is a moment for you to snap. A snap set moment. And this is a real fishing term. And it means to not delay. It means to do it immediately. And for us, there is something in the Lord speaking to us that we need to have a snap set mentality. That we need to have a snap set heart when it comes to His voice. And I'm really excited for this part because it is something that I think the Lord wants to shape in us and help us grow in. And there's this thing where when God is prompting you, what is keeping you and what is keeping you to hesitate in His voice? A couple of weeks ago, Keenan actually preached about hearing God's voice. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit often does in us is to prompt us to text people. When last did we just sporadically message somebody, hey, thinking about you, praying for you later? Or in service, like to this morning, seeing somebody you haven't seen for a while and just greeting them and praying for them and sharing encouragement with them. See, the Lord prompts us often to speak to one another, to share with one another, to pray with one another, to encourage one another, and to be generous. But then often we don't have the snap set mentality. And the snap set mentality is that thing. And in that moment, we take hold. And we have no delay. So there's a 5-second Thank you. There's a 5-second rule that prompts us. The Lord speaks in that 5 seconds. Write down what he said. And then if you know what he said, test it with a friend. And if you tested it with a friend, do it. Because obedience is what's going to lead us. And if there's no delay, it helps us to step out more in the future. And if you're not sure, reach out. If you're not sure that this was from the Lord, test it. You test it through the word. You test it through accountability. And you test it through more prayer. And if you're not hearing the Lord, clear the backlog. Ask God the last thing he said to you and you didn't obey. Go back to the place where God spoke to you and ask him for grace and for strength to do that. And then the final thing with the snap set is to shift from a consumer heart to a participant. For us, it's so important to realize that when the Lord is speaking to us, there is a sense that he wants us to be part of. One body, many members, each one carrying something different. And I realized that when I started serving in church. I came into Josh Gen 2013, November 2013, and I remember coming into it, and there was a moment where I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to serve. I didn't know what area I've got strengths in. So I started in Navy. And then I just served in Navy. And then people were like, yo, you work with kids? Go to kids ministry. I was like, yeah. Okay, maybe teens. And then I'm like, okay, cool. I can try that. And then I started serving in that area as well, in youth. And eventually after participating, I actually started hearing God more, prompting me to participate in different areas, showing me the strengths that I have and the weaknesses that he's working on. But it all actually started the moment I got baptized. My snap set moment was 6 months after I was 21, where I gave my heart to the Lord. I decided to get baptized through somebody random who came to my house, who downloaded Clash of Clans and played Clash of Clans on my couch. And he then stopped while he was walking out the door and he's like, Charles, I've got a word for you. I'm like, okay, cool. I know this terminology. Yannick also uses it. It's great, man. Just give it to me. I'm in a rush. I have to go make up with my girlfriend. Like, you need to go now. And he's like, firstly, I feel the Lord says you shouldn't be dating for 2 years. I'm like, oh, how did you know that? Yeah, like, cool. Thanks, man. Secondly, you're going to work with business people. So I'm like, oh. Yeah, really. And then thirdly, I feel the Lord says, it's time. It's time for you to give up this world and to get baptized. I remember my baptism, it was in a green pool. That was fail. It was cold. And I remember getting baptized. And in that moment, I experienced sin and the weights of the Lord. In that moment, and I stood there and I knew that from this moment on, I cannot live like I lived. I cannot be like I was. I cannot do what I did. And I need to change. And I need to give everything for me. And there was a moment as I came out of the water that was a snap set. My life changed. And the first thing I had to give up was my friends. And the second thing was my hobbies. But I didn't give it up. I just gave it to the Lord. And he replaced it. Because from friends, I found family. From hobbies, I found life. And as we surrender ourselves, we find that God is good. And we find that he is giving us more. And there is an example in scripture that I want to point to where there's a snap set moment for a young man and he missed it. And I want to say this morning, do not miss the bus. If the Lord spoke to you, even when Moses brought the words forward, for guys who want more of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord prompted you, but you did not respond, there's a snap set moment for you this morning. See, the rich young ruler, he came with a lot of things to the Lord. And he said, this is my life. This is everything I had. And Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then he gave him exactly the same invite he gave the disciples. And come and follow me. That snap set was too heavy for that young man. And he decided not to. But if we read when Jesus called the disciples in the beginning, the first disciples, the mending of the nets, the place where they were fishing and mending, we see that Jesus, while he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, no delay, no wait, no let's go pray about it, because what's the Christian's way of saying no? I'll pray about it. Nothing like that. It was immediately. It was in that moment. There was no delay. And he continues, and they left their nets and followed him. And going from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. What did they do? There was a snapshot. There was a no delay. Immediately, they went. And they went with them. And they were the first disciples called. And this morning, are we obedient? And God speaks, is the snapshot obedience. Charles Spurgeon writes, delayed obedience is disobedience. To choose when to obey is to set yourself up as master instead of servant. We always just quote that thing, delayed obedience is disobedience. But that second part is so important for us. Because if we follow the pattern of this morning, the first one is to make Jesus Lord of all. The second one, if he's Lord of all, we will obey in all. And then the final part is mending on the fly. Morris felt for us as a congregation, along with the other elders, that there is a season of mending the nets where the Lord wants to strengthen us. And if you think about fishermen, when they mend the nets, it was often after a big fish, like a big haul that they got, or in preparation the next morning for what they are going to fish for. And with fly fishing, there is a beautiful term where it's called mending on the fly. And as they fly fish, sometimes their lines get all cooked up. And then they have to fly fish and fix their line and fly fish and fix their line. And they have to mend on the fly. And for us, I feel there is a sense that as we mend the nets, the relationships, the obedience, and even our reverence of God, there is still a mission. There is still a Wellington to take. There is still ground to be advanced. And to make the main thing the main thing. And there's a story of Nehemiah where he was sent back to rebuild the wall. And the title of Nehemiah 4 verse 15, it says sword and trowel. Where in the one hand, Nehemiah was fighting a war and he was fighting people off. In the other hand, he was building a wall. And for us, there is a sense where God is saying, mend the net, but don't forget about the purpose. Mend the net, but don't forget about the gospel. Mend the net, but don't forget about your neighbor. Mend the net, but reach out. Get people to follow me. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The gospel is the powerful salvation. Now, I've got 10 years of experience in youth. And in youth, if you don't ask questions, you don't get answers. So I've got some questions this morning. And I want us to really think about it. The first question is, when last did you invite somebody to community? That is a practical way of fighting, like Nehemiah, the war, and also building the wall. The second question is, when last did you invite somebody to church? And then the final one, and I think this is probably the most important one, because we're not here to build Josh Jen. We're here to see people get saved and fall in love with the person of Jesus. When last did you share the gospel? I met with somebody in the week and they said, last year somewhere. And I asked them where, and they were like, no, we want an outreach. And I shared with the person, it's easier when we go to share the gospel than when we are here. And oftentimes it's easier for us to do things when we leave Wellington, to do things outside of Wellington, than to do those same things in Wellington. Because as we leave, we build expectation. As we leave, we build faith. And one of the areas of the net, as we mend it, is to remind ourselves that the power of the gospel is unto salvation. But it comes with expectation and faith. Is the Lord mending expectation and faith in our hearts? When you drive to church in the morning, are you excited to see somebody respond to the gospel like this morning? Are you excited to see people fall in love with Jesus over and over? Because we're not just called to sit here and worship. We are called to advance the kingdom. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you look through the 3 points, set the whole fleet, it actually comes back to, are we abiding in Christ? The second point, the set, he who loves the Father will do what the Father does. So do we belong? Do we belong to this community? Do we belong to each other? Do we belong to the Father? And then the last one is to build. It's to contribute. We all have opportunity to continue building what God is doing. And I'm going to end off with a little story that I read in preparation for this week. And this little story is about a little rescue house on the side of a small town. And this rescue house was next to a big lighthouse. And this lighthouse would obviously work during storms. And when there's storms and there's shipwreck, this little rescue house would be sent out to go save those people in the shipwreck. And they were so good at what they did, but they had this broken down house. It really wasn't the most pleasant place, but it was practical and it served its purpose. And what happened was, as they went to go rescue people, people fell so in love with them that they started staying in that town. And then they expanded this little house, and they made it bigger, and they put in beautiful chairs, and they put in beautiful screens. And after a while, this little house started to become popular, not for saving the shipwrecked people, but for being the place that saved shipwrecked people. They lost their identity. And then the people that first started, they moved on and they got another little house and they did it again. And they redid it and they redid it and they redid it. And the moral of the story is, let church not be too comfortable that we miss the mission. We're here to build God's house. Nehemiah continues to say that you build your house of panel houses, but you forgot the house of the Lord. The ABCs, abide in Jesus, belong to one another, and contribute in building the kingdom. I'm going to pray for us. And then I felt Morris already felt in the spirit what to do in terms of ministry, where the areas we're going to pray in. But I did feel, as some responded, I did feel there's a sense that for some of us, there is still a call. A call to say, Lord, I don't just want to give my heart. I want to give my life to you this morning. For Jesus, you gave everything of yourself on the cross for me. 3 days later, you rose. But this morning, I can't hold back anything in my heart anymore. And then there's a call for those who haven't heard the voice of the Lord in a while. We want to pray with you. Because I do feel the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts. He's encouraging and he's enabling us to do the ABCs. So we're going to give a moment to respond to that. But I just want to pray for us to build faith and expectation. Yeah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are who you are. We thank you that you are the great I am, the beginning and the end. You are the Alpha and Omega, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and took our place, that you died on the cross that I am destined for. But you also made a way for us into the presence with the Father. I pray, Lord, that this morning we won't just be holding on to our own lives, but that we'll give our lives wholly and completely to you, Jesus. I pray this morning that there will be an activation in our hearts to stir in us a passion for your name, to reach the lost, to see the broken come into family, and to see the lost and the lonely find something of you, Jesus. The whole you. Everything of you. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us so much that you pulled us out of darkness. Use us to lead others. Be a city on a hill, the salt and the light of this world. Yeah. Amen.